The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The voice of the people. News Talk 710. Put some attitude between your ears with Peter Boyles on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Good morning, everyone. Made it to a Thursday. 710 KNUS is the traditional tax day, April 15th. Been pushed out, makes you happy knowing where your hard-earned money is going. 710 KNUS Weather Center weather on a Thursday. Rain and snow mixed. 45 will be the high. 25 tonight. Tomorrow, the heavy wet snow comes in. I'm off tomorrow. I got a ski day, and Jimmy's got the con, and then rain, snow on Saturday. Sun comes out on Sunday in 57. This idea of the court packing, you got to have six. This is how I love about how the media works. Joe Biden needs 60 votes in the Senate. He doesn't have them. And this jumping up and down, court packing, which was attempted before. He needs 60 votes in the Senate to these texters. He doesn't have them. It's an issue, right? In the meantime, one of my true favorites, we've done radio and appearances together, and I love his work. Joel Gilbert joins us. Hey, man, it's been a while. Good to have you back, and good morning.
Hey, great to be back. Thanks, Peter.
Where are we speaking to you from?
I'm in Los Angeles on the left coast.
Take a second and tell folks who you are, quick bio, so they know.
Yeah, I'm a documentary filmmaker. I've pretty well known for some of my films like Dreams from My Real Father, about Obama's background and alternate history, where I show his real biological father was the same man that indoctrinated him and radicalized him, Frank Marshall Davis. There's No Place Like Utopia, which I debuted in Denver. Peter Boyles was in the movie. Trump, The Art of the Insult, a couple years ago, and my most recent film, The Trayvon Hoax, Unmasking the Witness Fraud that Divided America, about the fake witness in the Zimmerman case, Rachel Gentel, that launched the entire BLM movement based on this phony witness that Ben Crump and the whole gang were part of, and continue this false narrative to this day.
Interestingly enough, this Dante Wright story, the media is not telling who Dante is or was, but these court documents have appeared on the internet where Dante Wright had choked a woman and threatened to kill her, and she had rent money. She had stuffed the rent money in her bra, and it was $820. And he slipped what they called slipped the cuffs, and he was attempting to flee when the police were arresting him on this warrant for robbing a woman of her rent money.
Right.
Joel, that's not getting any attention at all, is it?
No, it's pretty much the same formula, the George Floyd case, all the way back to Michael Brown in Ferguson, of course. Him and his buddy were robbing a store, attacked the police officer, grabbed his gun, fired a shot, and they don't talk about any of that. It's only the malfeasance, allegedly, of the police officer, and the formula is they overcharge the police officer like they did with Derek Chauvin, like they did with now Kimberly Potter. And a year later, when it goes to court, we find out that nothing the media said was true. The charges were pretty much exaggerated and overcharged. And the person is usually and should be acquitted. And the acquittal is what they really want, because Derek Chauvin does them no good in prison. George Zimmerman, they were very happy that he got acquitted. He does them no good in prison. That way, when the overcharging is revealed as false charges, they can then say, well, the system doesn't work. We still want justice. Give us all your money. Give us millions of dollars. Take the money from the police and give it to us. So it's a formula, and it's just tragic the way it just doesn't stop.
Joel Gilbert's here. I watch now, why should police have weapons? And have you seen any of this stuff where they think the traffic cops should not have guns and not be able to defend themselves or be able to take things on? And this is the mindset of the left, that we were talking yesterday about belief systems, and in a Marxist utopia, there's no need for anything. There's no need for violence. There's no need for anything because we're all going to be, there's going to be peace in the valley. And if you understand that's the precept, then you understand the concept of what these people are moving towards. And here we had a murderer in King Soopers in Boulder who is, I think, a radicalized, perhaps Islamic jihadi born in Syria. Nobody wants to pursue any of those things. They had a kosher, the deli getting ready for Passover was advertising heavily kosher food. He drove over 30 miles from his home to pick out this King Soopers to shoot it up. And now they're coming out, well, he might have been bullied in high school, and it really is the gun's fault. Nobody wants to deep dive and look. And I come back with Duante White in Minneapolis, and I'm reading it last night, and he had choked a woman and threatened her with a gun, and she had to hide her money, her rent money, in her bra. And that's why they were taking him in. They weren't taking him in for a bad plate. They were taking him in because of ag robbery.
Peter, what you're saying is the basis of all this is the police. They want, the left has always wanted to get rid of the police. This is like a fantasy. Now, the reason they want to get rid of the police is because police protect private property. That's the basis of the capitalist system. In communism, there's no private property. There's only a state militia which forces people to obey the government, forces them to go to work because they don't want to work in socialism. So this is like a fantasy world where there's no police, there's no prison. Mm-hmm. Everything is this big utopia, mm-hmm. and this always, we know this always collapses, and without rule of law, and everyone suffers, and you end up with this just big, massive population of impoverished people, and then a group of elites who enjoy all the fruits of the state and control everything and everyone. So sure. Nothing could be more destructive and ridiculous than defunding police means eliminate police. We don't want police. And they use this narrative. As soon as one is wrapping up, they bring up another one, and they'll keep doing it until, as you say, people, the media will cover what really is going on here, but we're just not getting it.
Why do you think, Joel Gilbert's here, we have such a lay-down press on the Front Range, it's laughable. The shooting in the King Soopers and murders in King Soopers, it's just a drive-by now. It's really the gun, and maybe he was bullied in high school. His Facebook talks about, you know, his radicalizations, his things that he is saying, and that doesn't count. And they found some kid he went to high school, said, yeah, he got bullied, but he fought back. And I also think we're not talking about, for instance, and it's a good thing Joe Biden's finally going to get out of Afghanistan, but they're not talking about Joe Biden's now bombing in Syria. The United States military is bombing in Syria. And this kid, this murderer, was born in Syria. And I think, can we ask those questions? Joel, they don't ask one single question.
It's true. The media just became so corrupt, so in bed with the establishment, with the state. It's literally state-run media. When you turn on CNN and you listen to the questions they ask and the answers, it literally looks like we're living under Soviet occupation in the 1960s in Eastern Europe. This is the type of dialogue you have on CNN, which you get out of the state media. And as far as Afghanistan, got to understand what's really going on in the background is this is all about appeasing Iran. Iran has wanted U.S. troops out of Afghanistan, out of Iraq, for years because they want to dominate the region. They don't like it when U.S. forces are to their east and to their west. So they're into renegotiating and re-entering this joint plan of action thing where Iran gets to develop nuclear, enriched uranium and eventually get a nuclear weapon. And this is part of part of Iran's new list of demands, U.S. troops out of Afghanistan. It's all about appeasing Afghanistan, appeasing Iran. So don't listen to Biden when he talks about a victory lap. Oh, we want to bring our.
Well, there's no
home.
Victory. No, there's. That's there. There shouldn't have been there in the first place. Bush lied everybody into it. It continued, and I watched Biden's speech, and he talked about how the mission was accomplished. And George Bush lied. So how can you accomplish a lie? The Iranians will find out, as everybody else found out from the Soviets, the U.S., to the Mongols, don't go into Afghanistan, and they'll get handed their hat. The struggle now, I mean, we're going to talk about 9/11 coming up. The real planners, and you and I have talked about this, and the underwriters and the paymasters of 9/11 were the Saudi Arabians. There wasn't one Afghan on those airplanes. There wasn't one Iraqi on those airplanes. It was Saudis. And they slipped out the back door, too. It's such a witch's brew. And Donald Trump wanted out by May 1. And that's, I don't know. I look at this stuff, and it just disgusts me.
Well, I'll tell you what I've realized only recently, and if you start to think about this, I think you'll agree, is that looking back, the fix was in for Joe Biden to both win the Democrat nomination and the 2020 election from the get-go. There was no reason for Biden at his advanced age and with all his baggage to ever have run for president. We thought it was like a joke candidacy. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a big joke. But all of a sudden, he's running and everyone drops out. All of a sudden, oh, that's interesting. Barack Obama withheld his endorsement. I think that was also a tell, because had he endorsed Biden, we would have known the fix is in. So I think the forces that be that realize that a second Trump term would be an existential threat to them, meaning China, the CIA, FBI, deep state, big media, big tech, the Democrat Party, globalists, all these people together were in on this from way back, but to make sure that Trump did not win.
Well, they didn't
term.
Want him, but Joe, I can't find, and I've searched for months, any hurts, any fixes. Donald Trump got beat. Those people beat him. And I totally agree with you that they set out to defeat Donald Trump. But the stuff that's being said now is insanity. In the meantime, Joe Biden, they couldn't run Bernie. They couldn't run the woman I think is president-in-waiting, Kamala Harris. And what they did was they took China Joe, and he did a rope-a-dope. They hit him out. And Donald Trump helped defeat himself. And it's a sad moment. And I ask you this question. Do you think that Joe Biden's actually coming up with these things on his own that he says? And my answer first is no.
He is either. It's not Biden. Every time I speak, I say Biden's handlers are doing this. Biden's handlers have decided to do that. Biden is not doing anything. And I don't think he comes up with this stuff or he decides anything. He's pretty much a stand-in. I, though, believe that Kamala is really not someone they're pushing right now. They gave her that border czar gig, which is not a good thing, and she's gotten a lot of criticism. I really believe the fix is in for Michelle Obama to succeed Biden in 2024, and she's carefully preparing it. If you look at her Twitter account, she's very political. She's involved in everything. And I believe that really she's the one that they want to have in the White House after Biden, not Kamala.
I'll give you a sleeper on that is the governor of Colorado. He's gay. He's married to another guy with a side, but it's a checkbox in the politically correct list of things you must be. He's very wealthy. He's Jewish. He has tremendous wealth. He has, I think he's the guy that brought the baseball team here, but rather the baseball game here, which has nothing to do with playing baseball. He's got the belly fire. He's got the money. He's got the image. They couldn't get, I mean, if something happens to Joe, and I got the overs and unders on Joe at 11 months, if something happens to Joe and then Kamala Harris steps in, then I think they go into the jackpot. And I agree with you. I mean, Mrs. Obama, I actually believe that this is the third term of Barack Obama. What do you think? You think
I believe it is. They've got Susan Rice in there, head of domestic policy. The policies are exactly simply eliminating everything that Trump ever did and returning to the failed Obama policies, whether it's domestic or foreign. I'll give you two other hints on Michelle Obama. Is she was the final speaker at the DNC video DNC. She was the keynote speaker. They called it the closing argument. And also, she recorded her statement 8 days in advance. Everybody else did it on the same day. She did it 8 days in advance so she would not have to talk about Kamala, who hadn't been appointed yet.
That's right.
So she didn't have to say, oh, Kamala Harris is so great or anything like that. So I think the fix is in also on that. And this is the third Obama term, but instead of the stealth socialism that during Obama's time where they tried to kind of keep it on the down low, it's pretty much out in the open. They're now going after every fundamental institution, the Supreme Court, anything you can think of about what ties Americans to the constitutional arrangement they're undermining.
Our guest, the one and only Joel Gilbert. So what's the end game? I don't have, I mean, the Republican Party needs to do all kinds of things, which I hope they're able to do, but I don't see much hope in them doing it. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, their end game is including what could possibly be the end game of 10 million illegals coming into the country.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
The end of the United States as a sovereign nation as we know it, and a one-party state like we have here in California, mm-hmm. or New York, where they have permanent power. That's the end game. And we know that these one-party states and undermining all the foundation of society is just disaster. So I think it's we're leading nowhere good. The only thing good that I can think of is at least when Obama was president, because he was personally popular, when they did outrageous, ridiculous things like Obamacare that just was such a failure, he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I oversold it." Or when they used the IRS to go after the Tea Party movement, mm-hmm. He said, "Oh, you know, nobody should have, this is unacceptable." And people kind of believed him. They were able to get over these terrible abuses of power. With Biden, there is no one, there is no big charismatic leader that people believe in. So everything is just right out there, and people really now understand how corrupt the government, how the media is corrupt, the intelligence services are. So it's a little bit of a different dynamic than when Obama could just paper over everything.
Joel Gilbert's here. What are the one and two things that frighten you the most about what we're watching?
Two things is H.R. 1 for the People
no,
Act.
Boy.
This bill that, yep. that was passed before the bringing up again to simply federalize elections mm-hmm. and create loopholes such that literally I read the thing, and there's nothing to prevent 20 million Chinese people from going online, picking out a vacant lot somewhere on Google Earth and registering to vote and mailing in their vote. And if you try to say, hey, there's something wrong with this, voter integrity, you can literally go to jail. So that pretty much ends the electoral system. The second problem is, of course, funny money. They've been printing funny money now for even during Trump's time, $30 trillion in federal deficit. And they're just simply accomplishing all they want in the short term in the leftist agenda by printing trillions of worthless money. And when this money dries up, you're going to have no jobs, and the United States could default on its debt. So these are the two big things that threaten the very foundation of the country.
H.R. 1, that's what this whole All-Star fiasco is about.
Correct.
And for the people that have not seen H.R. 1, and it used to be called For the People was the original jacket that it was given. And in Georgia, of all places, which, you know, Georgia's turned into such a cesspool, and the Republicans wrecked it, and Trump wrecked it, and Lynn Wood wrecked it, and Sidney Powell wrecked it. And I was reading there's a belief about 70,000 Republicans literally stayed away because they believed that their votes weren't going to count if they voted. These one guy's a borderline Marxist. The other guy. And that's why Kamala Harris now can be the decider in the Senate. But now they're going back to Georgia. Georgia tried to clean up what had happened. And they become racist and Klansmen and Jim Crow, actually Jim Eagle and all the stuff that Biden said. And I don't think for a second, Joel, that he came up with any of that on his own. But now Georgia, but again, Major League Baseball is still going to play. You know, the Rockies will still go play the Braves. Braves are playing at home. No one's calling them these names. And now baseball is woke. But this is really about raw power and institutionalizing through the media. What a horrible thing it must be to ask someone to actually have a picture on their ID when they vote. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, look, there's two underlying issues. One is the Democrats have appointed themselves as anti-racist watchdogs. They are all about anti-racism. So, number one, that's the entire program of the Democrat Party, is that everything is racist and we're representing non-racism. And that's not a bad idea, because who's not racist? Everybody's anti-racist. So when you look under the anti-racism, you see the agenda is socialism. The same as the leftists in the 60s, they were anti-war, anti-draft. oh, it turns out you want to overthrow the government and replace the Constitution with the Communist Manifesto. This is what socialists do. They always use some other agenda because they know that their program will never be voted for by anybody. So with this anti-racism, next thing is fear. Major League Baseball owners are not woke. They're just afraid. They're terrified of being accused of being racist, that their players will start kneeling, who knows what. So it's all fear. When my movie, The Trayvon Hoax, came out, showing that the prosecution used a fake witness, Rachel Gentile, and the entire Black Lives Matter movement was based on a lie, nobody would talk to me. Hannity, Tucker, you name it, Larry Elder. They were terrified. These are good conservatives. But they told me straight up, some of them, they said, look, I'll get killed on social media if I touch anything to do with race. So they've got America in a place where everyone is just terrified of any accusation or any insinuation. Oh, you want voter integrity, that's going to disenfranchise black people. Mm-hmm. So you must move your all-star game. You must change your law. You must hand over those $1 billion that you're going to give the police to protect us to social justice organizations. And people are falling for it.
Same thing is true with corporations. And we've talked about, you know, how was Donald Trump defeated? The entire, you know, academia, Hollywood, the music business, corporate America, the media, having let that be said, you know, across the country, they put up a united front, Donald Trump. Even the public service ads that I went back and I was looking at, they put a young African-American kid on, say, register to vote as though your life counts on it, because it does. That was a anti-Donald Trump ad, and they were underwritten with taxpayer money. Now, there was this method of destroying Donald Trump, and then he helped. But now what? And so my final question, we got to get you back more often than we do. Joel Gilbert's here. Who gets the nod? I mean, I don't think Joe Biden makes a full poll. I really don't. Then set that scenario up, Joel. What happens?
Well, look, people don't quite remember that Biden had two brain aneurysm surgeries years ago. So he was always wired a bit different in how they repaired his brain in those surgeries. So he's been a little off for years. People kind of don't remember that. I don't think he's as demented as people want to think he is, that it's just has to do with this rewiring from brain aneurysm surgeries. So I think he will last. I think they'll definitely want to get him through the midterms at the very least so they can repeat the Biden miracle. But I think we're going to go back to, remember the Obama second term where we had chaos abroad, ISIS, 40% unemployment in big cities, just so much was going in the tank during the Obama years. So I think even if Kamala were to take over, she would be inheriting and have to run on a failed agenda, on a failed presidency. And that's why either way I think the door is open for Michelle Obama, which is essentially going to be the fourth and fifth term of Barack Obama.
That's critical thinking. This future for this country right now I think is in peril. And matter of fact, I strongly believe it's in peril. And for the life of me, you have to see something happen. And right now, I believe people that think as you do are losing on all fronts. And I really wish I could say, hey, Joel, here's how it's done. Here's how the trick is turned. I don't see it.
Well, we had an electoral system. We had the same conversation like 4 years
ago. Oh, yeah, I remember.
Said, look, we've had 8 years of Obama. If Hillary gets in there, we're in great peril. And everyone came together and voted Trump in. Mm-hmm. He reversed most of these policies, economic, foreign policy, you name it, and had relatively great success against tremendous opposition. And so we're right back where we were before, but now they're taking away through H.R. 1 the ability to change the government.
Well, I agree.
It's difficult to articulate how we can get out of this without a free and fair electoral system.
Take care of yourself. We'll get you back real soon. I'm a big fan, Joel Gilbert. It's good to talk to you again. I miss you, my friend. Take care.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, man. Dr. Tim Furnish coming up on Afghanistan. Then Robert Spencer, and then Michael Roberts from Westward on Channel 9. Dan Kaplis Law Firm. Dan Kaplis Law Firm. Run those S's. Law offices, Dan Kaplis. These guys are the best of the best. Thousands of innocent people are killed and injured every year in truck accidents. And Danny has this long, successful track record in cases against the trucking industry. Dan won the largest jury verdicts in truck accident cases in Colorado in the last decade. A $25 million jury verdict out of state trucking company that caused death and destruction. I think you probably know that story. Danny's won numerous multi-million dollar out-of-court settlements for clients in truck accidents cases. I'm saying this for, I mean, if you have something that has happened in your family, Danny takes righteous cases on a percentage fee basis. He is the good man. Good people from all walks of life can benefit from the resources of that firm. If you need help, Dan's help, please call him at 303-907-5003, 303-907-5003. Don't return your call right away if something has happened, or you can do it on the web, Dan Kaplis, C-A-P-L-I-S, DanKaplisLaw.com. Reach that way, but you'll get an answer. You can sit down and talk. If you've got a problem, you think you need an attorney, something's happened, 303-907-5003, DanKaplisLaw.com.
News Talk 710, KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Peter Boyles. News Talk 710, KNUS.
All my rowdy friends have settled down. 6:30 on 710, KNUS. It's a traditional tax day. Really makes you proud, doesn't it? April 15th. 710 KNUS Weather Center weather. Rain, snow late this afternoon. 45 will be the high. Tomorrow, heavy wet snow. 38 will be the high. I have tomorrow off. Jimmy's got the con. I got a spring ski day in. Also coming up, Robert Spencer from Jihad Watch, and then Michael Roberts from Westward, about what's going on inside of Channel 9. In the meantime, as Joe Biden says, we're leaving Afghanistan. Please say good morning. Welcome back to the radio show, PhD Dr. Tim Furnish. Doctor, good morning, man. Thanks for doing it again. Welcome back.
Peter, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I'm checking NASCAR and country music venues so I can get my latest coronavirus update from the administration.
I got to tell you,
I'm good.
Yeah, what a couple of days this has been. I'm watching Fox News this morning, and I've just lost so much respect, but they have these people on that are screaming about Joe Biden's decision. And as you know, Donald Trump had set May 1 to be the real date to leave, and I'm thinking, do you think Fox News would have people on attacking Joe Biden for leaving Afghanistan if it were Donald Trump actually leaving May 1st?
Probably not. Who'd they have on? I didn't see it, Peter. Was it the usual suspects?
They
didn't have Cheney on, did they?
No, but Liz Cheney's come out, and she wants to stay. Her father is really the Black Prince. I mean, I have just no use for these people at all. But
Peter, if you wanted any better evidence of the so-called deep state, there it is right there. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Who blasted Biden right away was Mitch McConnell. And I hate to say this, I put this on social media, and it pains me to say this, but my God, Biden's teleprompter has finally done something that I agree with.
You know, I said that. I said, I finally did something I liked. Yeah. God.
It's just, you and I have been talking about this for a long time, and there were a lot of things, but we try not to be hypocrites. And it's just funny to watch the usual suspects like, Max Boot and these foreign policy mavens that don't know a damn, can't find Afghanistan on the map, but they're the world's experts on it. And the one that kills me is this one, Peter. Well, this is going to threaten the rights and the positions of women and this sort of thing. I'm like, so wait a minute. So now we're supposed to invade countries and change their social mores for them.
Right, and it's nonsense. But it goes,
what happened to diversity?
Yeah, well, Biden's decision. I brought Liz Cheney in this morning. Biden's decision hands the Taliban and al-Qaeda a propaganda victory. And the one I like is abandoning our global leadership position. The United States has a global leadership position. My other part of it was when China Joe says, it's been mission accomplished. I said, wait a minute, it's a lie. How can you accomplish a lie?
Well, first of all, we never really knew what the mission was.
Well, so that's my point. Yeah.
But he actually say that?
I will read this to you just a second. I got to scroll this thing on my...
Mission accomplished?
Yeah. Well, that's a George Bush line off the... It was the Lincoln. It was under Lincoln, right?
Right. That was after the Iraq War, yeah.
Yeah, find it, Peter. Just a second. Joe said... just a second. I can't do computers at all. And I have... five of them in front of me here. Let me find it so we can quote China Joe accurately. I knew you were going to do this to me. I'd have had it ready to go. Joe. We were attacked, said Joe, in a somber 16-minute speech laced with flashes of emotion. We went to war with clear goals. Really? We achieved those objectives. I'm paraphrasing China Joe.
Oh, okay. We achieved those objectives.
Well, no, we didn't.
Well, like, we knocked the Taliban out of power, who were, allowing...
No.
Well, no, but I know. They back in the inter- two decades. I don't know. I think we've been in Afghanistan longer than Rome occupied Carthage, we're not going to pull a Afghanistan Delendo Est. That's just not going to work. We normally don't destroy countries anymore. It's just amazing. Let me ask you this, Peter. I can never quite figure out why is it that the establishment wants to stay there so bad, just so the military-industrial complex can make money? Why do they want to stay there so bad?
Well, there have been so many great books written about, lie by lie, these timelines of how, actually I say Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz and those others, but if you go back in time, last night I was doing a lot of reading to prep for this morning's show, and if you go back to this moment where we go back in the Project for the New American Century, and it was founded by, it was 98, founded by Cheney, Scooter Libby, Donald Rumsfeld, Jeb Bush, Paul Wolfowitz, all these other top neocons. They go to Bill Clinton and demand the removal of Saddam Hussein. Now, Dick Cheney had one of those great lines, "The good Lord didn't see fit to put oil," this is when he's running Halliburton at the time, "The good Lord didn't see fit to put oil and gas only where they are democratically elected regimes friendly to us." You get them, Dick. All right, my boy. So I think those are two, and those back in the late 90s.
But Peter, there's like no oil in Afghanistan.
I know that, but the Iraq there is, and that's what he was talking about.
Right. But I don't know. I don't understand it. Sometimes I just think that no matter what happens, somebody wants to bitch about it. They get paid to bitch about it at so-called think tanks. I think that's part of what they do.
But I despise these people for what they've done. And George Bush is now appearing this weekend on the network to talk about his greatest regret of his 8 years, not to get the path for citizenship for illegals. Nothing to do with Iraq, nothing to do with Afghanistan, nothing to do with all-American rights, nothing to do with any of those things. But that
he's trying to get his, his legacy cemented.
Sure,
in the media.
Of course.
That's all he's doing right there.
Here, look, if you go back, and I was writing notes to myself, there was no nuclear programs, there was no poison gas, there were no shells filled with deadly viruses, there was no illegit weapons, none of those things that George Bush said there were. Condoleezza Rice, the Bush thing about the deadly cloud, and Iraq being in league with bin Laden, that Cheney said, and all these people that confessed and they were beaten by the Egyptians. And I look at this stuff and I think they lied into Southeast Asia. They lied into Iraq and Afghanistan. What else are we being lied to about? And the answer is you can pick, correct?
Oh, yeah. It's to the point where I disbelieve more of what they say than what they do say.
Why? I mean, when are people going to understand that the United States of America, the CIA, the DOD, and the rest of these lineups, the Office of the President, that they lie?
When are people going to understand that?
Yeah. That they tell lies.
When Jesus comes back.
Is that what it is? No, I'm serious. I mean,
I know.
I mean, I look at these neocons, and now this morning, and I'm watching these people on Fox. Our guest is Dr. Tim Furnish. And I'm saying, if Donald Trump were still in the chair and he set a timeline for May 1, and they bypassed that Kabul government, they only dealt with the Talibs, which is exactly what Henry Kissinger did with Lee Dak To. They ignored Tu and Key in Saigon. They made a deal. They got Nobel Peace Prizes. The POWs came home, and the game was over. And it's going to happen again.
Yeah, it's very likely that the Taliban or some consortium of jihadist fundamentalists, you know, ISIS is active there too.
Sure.
We'll take over the country. That government won't survive.
No, it won't.
It's simply won't. I mean, that is the real reason we've been there for 20 years, the problem of that government. And nobody wants to be the president responsible for people grabbing the helicopter skids and they leave off the embassy there.
Richard Nixon. Lyndon Johnson, I won't be the first American president to lose a war. That was his entire worldview. And when you read books like Sheehan's book, Bright Shining Lie, and Sheehan knew, they're all lying. They're just telling lies. And finally, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it just goes back to this thing that once you've eliminated Al-Qaeda, immediately post 9/11, a kind of leadership from Afghanistan. We have no strategic objective in Afghanistan.
None.
Not a bit.
No, they fought people.
Frankly, Peter, I'm sort of an expert in this sort of thing. And frankly, I don't give a damn if the Taliban run the country.
Neither do I.
If that's what those people want,
let them have it.
Go for it. You know, go for it. Go smash all your TVs and cut off the hands of people that steal things. And you know, hey, that's multiculturalism at its best.
I agree. The last decade or so, more than that, because most people that I read believe that Osama was probably in Abbottabad, certainly by the end of December. They were gone. They left Tora Bora. They'd gone into Pakistan, or they're offered
very
cover. And the United States military is fighting people that don't even know where New York City is.
Right. Hell, we're fighting people that probably don't know where Kabul is.
That's well said. And I mean, they're illiterates. They don't know, but they like to fight, and they like to fight invaders.
Right, and they're very good at it.
They're very good at it.
Here's the thing, Peter. If we really wanted to do what the establishment types want us to do, we'd have to go China on that country. We'd have to try to reprogram, 30 million Muslims.
Can't do it.
We'd have to do what we did to the Japanese Shinto fanatics at the end of World War II.
Yep.
And we don't have the guts to do that. It's probably not possible.
You can't
to do
it.
Anyway
you can't because, do it. You can't do it.
Because Islam is a a historical faith, and it's one might well argue that the belief system of Islam goes a bit deeper than the Shinto of Japan at the end of World War II. But that's the kind of thing we'd have to do if you're gonna reshape a country where a bunch of guys that think their wives should cover themselves from head to toe and not be allowed to leave their wives, plural, should not be allowed to leave the house without them, except behind them in tow. If you're going to try to change that country, you're going to have to totally change the mindset.
Can't do it.
And you can't do it. But you're certainly not going to do it by, as I wrote in my article last year in the stream, by spending $1 trillion and putting Elmo on the TV there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to do it. I mean, the State Department idiots think that it will, but it won't.
Leave us with something this morning. Dr. Tim Furnish is here. I'm stumped. 20 years.
20 years. And what have we got to show for it?
Hey, let's stay. Why? Why?
Should we stay or should we go?
We should go. We should have never gone. Yeah. And
well, of course. Yeah. Sorry, I was doing the class.
I know you were. I picked it up.
You weren't gonna bite.
I'm not gonna play. No,
I'll say this. Let's say this, Peter. Like a stop clock is right twice a day. Yeah. Well, Biden's hit 50% of his quota.
I agree.
So so let's. Let's just be happy that his teleprompter told him to take the troops out of Afghanistan.
Well, it's a continuation of Donald Trump's policy.
It is. We'll never hear that, though.
No.
And by the way, I hope they're casting Trump's multiple Nobel Prizes for all those Middle East peace deals
Not a chance. When Lee Duck Tough and Henry Kissinger got him, and Obama got one for just being... They're not worth it.
Anymore. Being there.
Yeah.
Not for being there.
Never being there. I love you, Doc. Yeah. I miss you.
All right.
Thanks,
Peter.
Dr. Tim Furnish. Sorry, we pick up a couple open lines. Robert Spencer's coming up. There truly is an art to putting together the perfect kitchen or bathroom remodel. If you want the best countertops, wholesale pricing, Mitch Florian, the art of granite. What a good man. Mitch is an expert and a craftsman. He can turn granite and quartz and marble and other materials into true works of art right in your home. schedule a virtual consultation or they COVID up and come to the house. Remember now, Jared Polis says, hey, pandemic's over. Mitch, you call him at 303-386-5919, 303-386-5919. Visit his website, artofgranite.com, artofgranite.com. Start dreaming about your new countertops. Mitch provides the granite from his own warehouses and golden wholesale prices. No markups. So you can get the most for your budget. He is a craftsman. Mention 710KNUS. A free bathroom countertop with a purchase of a fantastic new kitchen countertops. Get a kitchen bathroom sink free with a purchase of any countertop package. Let him do the job. 303-386-5919. 303-386-5919. 303-386-5919. Artofgranite.com.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. When radio counts, count on Peter Boyles.
It's 10 before the hour, 710 KNUS. Robert Spencer coming up. Rain, snow, mix, and tomorrow's going to be a really heavy snow day in Denver, but that's good for the lawns. And I got a ski day tomorrow, and Jimmy's here. We go to Jay on one. You're on a radio show. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Pete. I'm going to give you kind of a background of how I come to believe what I'm told. One of my best friends is a Navy SEAL. My very best friend is a Marine, and my relative is a Army Ranger, and I just happen to know all kinds of military guys because it's who I hang out with, even though I have no background in that. But they tell me mostly what we do over there is guard lithium. We keep an eye on the lithium mines. Hmm. And if we don't, Russia or China or somebody's going to come in. And
well, I don't know how to break that to you. That's what imperialism is about. Those are our bananas in Guatemala. Those is our oil. It's not if that is there and there is lithium there, then let's do it straight. We don't have to protect it. Let them sell it to us for a straight normal price. This is what imperialism is about. United Fruit in Central America. Those are our bananas. No, they're not. They're grown in Honduras. They're grown in Guatemala. No, those are our bananas. Let's send the Marines.
Yeah, there you go. That's kind of what we've been doing.
Of course we have. And we've done that. There is a strong case to be made, and over new literature is appearing by pretty good modern historians. The first Gulf War, we went into Kuwait to kick out Saddam for the multinational oil corporations.
That makes more sense than
than what was said, because you read about the lies that Poppy was telling, let alone the lies of his son. But, you know, Saddam Hussein was Saddam always did business with the multinationals.
Well, patriotic American citizens do not need to know the truth.
Well, but if you think that, I mean, I always said this to people, if a Islamic army landed in Delaware and started out headed west, everybody that I know would pick up their weapons and head back east to fight them. That's Afghanistan.
You can include me.
That's Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And the lies, I mean, the stacked up lies of George Bush and Dick Cheney are just horrible what they did. Horrible.
Yes, I think Satan made a very, very comfortable nest for those two.
You know, and Bush he's going to appear this week on a big television special talking about his greatest regret. Imagine what you and I are talking about, but his greatest regret was how he could not get a pathway to citizenship for illegal immigrants, which is a politically correct social justice place to take, and cementing his own legacy that's so horrible.
Oh, my God, the ultimate rhino right there.
No, he's just, they're globalists. I don't even begin to attempt to understand him, and I also don't think he's bright enough to understand what he did.
Well, he may not be, but, I mean, he lied. Everything he ever said was a lie.
Absolutely. But Nixon lies and Johnson lies. I mean, they lie and young men and women die. God knows how many Asians died. God knows how many Arabs died, how many Afghans died. We'll never know.
And Trump basically shoots straight with everybody, tries to make the country better, and what's he get for it?
Well, I say that about Trump. You know, wouldn't you have loved to go back about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and sit down to him next to him and say, Mr. President, listen to me. Don't do this.
Uh-huh.
Don't say these things.
Uh-huh.
And let's see if we can get through this.
Yes. And I'd also like to go back about a year and a half ago and pay $1.75 for gas.
That's $4 now.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe.
That's Joe Biden, absolutely.
Thanks, Uncle Joe.
China Joe.
China Joe, Beijing Biden.
China Joe. Hi, Jay. Thanks, man. Real quick, Frank, we got about, I think we got about a minute and a half. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for all you do again. Thanks for these great speakers and their positions. The only other strategic advantage I can see on the world chess set for Afghanistan is Bagram sitting there like a dagger pointed at China. You know, I don't know what the end game is here, the outcome, but we've had to play a NATO-like game for all these potential people who would like to take over our country. The question I really wanted to ask you this morning, you're my history and literature Google, is can you think of a book and the plot of which would have been that you're sitting here as a world power, but your enemies are encroaching and coming on, and the thesis of the book would be a preemptive strike to take out the worst enemies, but you buy peace for 150 years.
Sure, it's called, it was, the Japanese tried it. It was called Pearl Harbor.
No,
didn't work, did it?
A different book. I don't know the book. I just wondered.
So the United States then preemptively strikes?
Yeah, and it...
Real quick, because of time. Frank, what country would you strike?
I'd say China and Russia.
Oh, my God. All right, man. Thanks. All right. Come back, Peter. Robert Spencer. And then Michael Roberts. 710 KNUS. Stay here.
There are three ways to reach the show. Call us at 303-696-1971. Text us on the free-to-download 710KNUS app. Or send us an email. Just go to the Peter Boyles page at 710KNUS.com and click on Email the Show.